37. The day after Watkins's cremation, James organized a memorial service in the Wing 2 courtyard. Caro sat between Trevor and George, holding George's hand. Julian was the only speaker. He talked about founding the project and its long development. Because the service included James's staff, who never entered Wing 3 and knew only that the scientific study concerned brain mapping, Julian's remarks were general and vague. He spoke movingly, but to Caro, the ceremony had a weirdly deceptive feel. James's workers might be uneducated, but they were not stupid. Surely they'd heard rumors, made speculations. However, none of that was evident from their closed, respectful faces. It was a relief to escape the compound to take Kayla to Ellen. Trevor offered to go with her, but Caro didn't want anyone else. Nothing extra to confuse Ellen. Trevor kissed her and said, "Good luck, love." Kayla refused to hold Caro's hand as they walked, trailed by Jasmine, from the jeep to the pretty little cottage where Ellen waited. "Let this go well. Please let this go well." The sliding glass door to the tiny back deck stood open. Ellen sat in a lawn chair facing the garden. Najla, her nurse, noticed Caro and rose. Ellen did not turn. Najla came swiftly into the cottage and addressed Kayla. "Your mama is waiting for you. She gets tired real easy, though. You won't say or do anything to tire her out, will you, honey?" Kayla didn't answer. She pushed back her thin shoulders and marched out to the deck. Hastily, Caro followed. "Please don't let Ellen start with, 'Angelica is dead.' Why hadn't she thought of this before? It would only upset Kayla more. Why hadn't—" "Hi, Mom," Kayla said. "I'm here." Ellen's head swung slowly around. Before Caro could ask the nurse if Ellen was having a bad day, Ellen reached out one tentative finger and just touched Kayla's chin. "Angelica died," Kayla said. "And I miss her too." "I know," Ellen said, and then added, her voice as tentative as her touch had been, "But I have you. And I'm not going away from you again. Aunt Caro can't make me." She looked defiantly over her shoulder at Caro, who felt the ground fall away under her. So that was why Kayla had been so furious with her. Too young to fully understand Ellen's clinical depression, nor the danger of suicidal ideation, Kayla had blamed Caro for what the little girl saw as Caro's unnecessary separation of mother and daughter. Then Kayla's rage had spilled over onto everyone else in the compound. Caro should have known, should have foreseen. Ellen's voice in her head from months ago. "You can't control everything, Caro." "Miss Jasmine," Kayla said, "will you go back to that place and pack my suitcase so somebody can bring it here? I'm staying here to take care of Mom." Ellen said, "Kayla." "Okay. Will you pack my suitcase, please?" And then, to Ellen, in a softer voice, "She'll bring my kitten, too. You'll like my kitten, Mom. She's white and black, and her name is Fluffy." Ellen improved daily, but Luskin had not yet given the go-ahead for her implant. Caro and Trevor did more surgeries, a nurse, two techs, Camilla. The new sessions yielded new brain mapping data, which she and Barbara analyzed minutely. The days were full of work, the nights of Trevor. In spare half hours, Caro studied the folders with George's science with greater attention than ever before. She wanted to see what Trevor saw, as long as it did not require abandoning her rational judgment. Weigert's theory had a lot of respectable antecedents, going back over 100 years. A great many physicists had seriously posited an ultimate substrate of reality made up of consciousness, or something like consciousness, or something not quite like consciousness, but able to be controlled by consciousness. Nobel laureate Max Planck regarding consciousness as fundamental to the universe. "I regard matter as derivative from consciousness." Astronomer Royal Martin Rees, who insisted that the universe could only come into existence if someone observed it, even if that observer turned up several billion years later. The universe exists because we are aware of it. And more Nobelists: Wigner, Schrödinger, Matloff. Finally, she tried to read Stephen Hawking, who believed that there is no way to remove the observer, us, from our perceptions of the world. The past, like the future, is indefinite and exists only as a spectrum of possibilities. The past as a spectrum of possibilities. If Caro could create a new past for herself, what would that look like? How far back would she go? Childhood? Med school? Fairleigh Memorial? Before Paul Becker's party? No. Because then she would not have met Trevor. Then, all such theoretical speculation shattered when the FBI returned, this time bringing with them Island Police and New York City homicide detectives.